Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We had a whole stack of visitor cards at Brandon's. It'll take him 30 minutes just to get through the visitors. We are very glad to have you as our honored guest here at South Valley, and we'd like to invite you back at whenever you're able to. We have a number of prayer requests that I'd like to address before we get started. A man that Frank and Armina knows, who lives in Pahrump, watches us regularly online. Dean Lowry has been in the hospital off and on for quite some time, and he was just released after surgery to remove a blood clot. He is at home in bed and doing stable. We need to continue to pray for him. And also, they request prayers for Armita's father recovering from surgery. Another prayer request is Robin Perry's father had passed away. We had prayed for him for some time. He passed away this past week, and she requests prayers for the family. We have a prayer request for an Aunt Wendy Rowland, who has cancer. We will keep her in prayer. And Curtis and Lisa Segita sent in a card. Please pray for Curtis's friend Renard and his cousin Bobby, who are having health issues. And also, they thank everybody for the prayers for Jordan, their son. He made it through the typhoon recently safely. We're glad about that. Amen. Also, if you notice, Stacy's not here today. Our daughter-in-law Ashley has cactus splinters all up and down her legs and backside and so forth from sitting in the back seat of our car. We were transporting cactus, thought we got everything out, and she's breaking out in hives and trying to get those out. So they're at the little urgent care up by their house. Hopefully that will take care of that. Let's go to God real quick in prayer, and then have a few other announcements, and then get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you that we can boldly approach your throne of grace and mercy. Thank you for listening to us. Dear God, there are so many that need your special hand. We ask that you be with those mentioned this morning. Please be with them, be with their families, and strengthen them at this time. It is really hard to go through something yourself, but sometimes worse to see loved ones and friends suffering. We pray for them and ask comfort through your word and through each other. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings you give us. We hope that everything that has been done and will be done today will be a glory and honor to you. We pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Some good news. We have a young lady right here, Miss Jean Shields, who lives here in Las Vegas now, used to attend the Delta Bay Church of Christ in Antioch? Antioch, California, and she is wanting to identify and worship and work with us here at South Valley, and so we welcome you, and it'll be an honor to work and worship with you here at South Valley. Amen. Next week is the area-wide singing at the North Las Vegas congregation. That's at 2 o'clock. Want to remind everybody, it jumps up on us pretty fast, but that's next week. And tonight, want to remind everybody that this is our end of the month singing and scripture night. And we will have a fellowship meal tonight, going back to when we used to worship BC, before COVID. We used to have potlucks periodically, and we're going to have some hot dogs. Stacy and I are providing the hot dogs, and then other, you know, if people would like to bring some side dishes or desserts or whatever. Not only will we eat and fellowship together, but we're going to kind of honor Puka, who's graduating high school. And that's a great honor, and he's a great young man. And I don't even want to think about how many hot dogs he might be able to put down. I know I'm not in the running with him, so I love hot dogs, but I'm out of that contest. Anyway, and one more prayer request. Gus came forward at the end of last Sunday and requesting prayers for himself and his family. And let's pause for a second. I forgot to mention that earlier when we were doing the prayers. Let's have a prayer real quick for that, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now on behalf of Gus and Amber and their family. We ask that you be with them. Let them put you in the center of their life together. We realize, all of us realize, that the closer we get to you, the closer we get to each other. Dear God, we ask that you be with them, strengthen them and help them grow closer to you and their brothers and sisters. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to look today at the concept why we suffer. You know, I don't know about you, but I hear quite a few people asking that very question. I sometimes ask it myself. You know, ask that question to myself. Why is this happening? You know, you hear the phrase, when it rains, it pours. It just seems like the floodgates open up and problem after problem after problem will hit you. Sometimes expected, sometimes out of the blue. I hear a lot of times Christians use the idea, well, if God's such a loving God, why does he allow X, Y, or Z to happen? I've even heard Christians start questioning their own faith when they encounter different trials, tribulations, and problems that they go through. And none of us are exempt. None of us are exempt. Every one of us have had issues in our life where we've had heartaches, where we've encountered loss of loved ones or dear friends or traumatic experiences in life or health setbacks or a financial disaster. Of course, those financial disasters always come at the worst time possible. You know, they couldn't come when you're doing good. It always comes with when you don't have two nickels to rub together. And we a lot of times ask, why do we suffer? One of the things I'd like us to look at, and this is not an exhaustive list, but one of the reasons why we suffer in this world is sin in general. Sometimes it's our sin. It amazes me, the people that might ask, why am I suffering? and you look at the life they're living, you expect anything, you expect an outcome anything other than what you're getting? And they have the gall to say, why is this happening to me? Sometimes we suffer problems in our lives due to our sin. Sometimes we can suffer and be an innocent victim, but the victim of somebody else's sin. Sometimes we have the attitude about sin, it only affects me. Stay out of my business. This is only affecting me, my life. Well, no, it doesn't. It ripples out. Whether a lot of times we realize it or not, but there's a lot of people that suffer because somebody else sinned. You see in the news all the time, somebody's, you know, driving under the influence and runs a red light and crashes into somebody else that was totally sober. And they're injured or worse, maybe killed. They didn't do anything wrong. You see the effects of other people's actions on you. It rolls downhill. And sin, excuse me, sin is the source of many of our sufferings in this world. In Numbers 26, it mentions about the suffering Nadab and Abihu suffered for sinning against God. It says, Nadab and Abihu died when they offered profane fire before the Lord. They can't say, well, I didn't know. They were Levitical priests. They were the sons of Aaron, the nephews of Moses. Their sin affected many others. Bad, but also sometimes good. Some of those other priests might have given them a wake-up call. We better do it the right way. But they were affected personally by their sin. But their father, Aaron, was greatly affected. You know, a father lost sons because of sin. They had to face that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we've read this scripture many, many times before, but talking about the effects of sin, Paul would write to the Christians in Corinth and he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. I find that interesting. Don't be deceived, because what you're hearing in the world might be different than what I'm telling you. The world likes to tell you that something God calls sin, it's not really sin. Everybody's doing it. You're a weirdo. You're in the minority. Think of the world today at the message the world gives regarding these issues. They say that they're not right, that there's nothing wrong with these. Not only do they say that there's nothing wrong with them, but that you should embrace them. It's not just a thing, well, you can have your idea, we'll have our idea. No, you have to embrace these in the corporate and civil world. Goes on to say, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I look at that list, and every one of those except two, our world today says is okay. In fact, they're legal, except for being covetous. There's no law against that. And extortioners, there is a law against that. That's being an extortioner is really the only thing that the world today kind of will hold you accountable for. The others, they say, no biggie, nothing big. But when we do this, we have to suffer the consequences for it. And people a lot of times wonder, why am I suffering? Well, are you wrapped up in any of these things? Paul says almost the same message to the Galatians. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Make no mistake, it's clear, it's obvious. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything else like these, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Big difference, and this might be for another lesson, big difference between practicing and maybe stumbling in. Practicing is you're living it. You're living that lifestyle. Not saying it's right, but if we stumble in one of these and get right back up and get back in line, that's different than practicing and living in that sin. Another reason why we might suffer is just natural consequences of the of life that God set up. Our life choices while we're here, the choices we make, maybe not necessarily sinful or not sinful, but sometimes things we choose cause us to suffer, causes ill health, causes, you know, injury to ourselves. We a lot of times ask about suffering in regards to death. Oh, why did so-and-so have to die? Could you imagine if nobody had ever died? We talk about overcrowding now. God set it up. Death is just part of this thing that we call life. In Proverbs 6, verse 27, talk about natural consequences. The question is asked, Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not get burned? We put it in different words today. You know, don't play with fire. If you play with fire, you get burned. Straight from the Bible. We can't expect to live a certain lifestyle and it not affect us. In Galatians, Paul brings this point out in the New Testament. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived because people will tell you the right, the opposite. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That's just a natural consequence for the world that God has created. Death, we mentioned that earlier. Everybody has died. And we will die. I don't want to be Debbie Downer right now. We're going to die. I'm sorry. Unless we're still breathing when Jesus returns, none of us are getting out alive. Adam died. Abraham died. Moses died. The Apostle Paul died. The Apostle Peter died. Moses, as it says, slept with his fathers. We have to face that. That's just a natural consequence of life. And one of the things that I am seeing more and more as I get older is the world doesn't have that same attraction to me as it used to. I'm not holding on for dear life to this life anymore. Do I want to check out and get my ticket punched right now? Not necessarily, but you know what? I like to think that I've got an attitude that if it ended right now, I'd be ready. I like to think that. Part of that might be coming the older I get, but this world is not as attractive to me as it used to be. It doesn't hold the allurement that it used to hold when I was younger, when I was less mature. It kind of reminds us of the priorities that we have in this life. In Philippians 3, verse 20, Paul reminds the Christians in Philippi, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Toward the end of his life, as Paul sitting in a jail cell in Rome, and this is generally accepted as his last letter to Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul was confident at the end of his life, my life's winding down. I'm going to get the crown of life. And not only me, but everybody like me that are Christians, that have lived their life for Christ. He would write to the Romans, What a great attitude. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When we do suffer, it doesn't compare to what to the glorious great things that await us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he would write, and it's almost like he's telling Timothy what's going to happen. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The persecution that we suffer today is nothing compared to the physical persecution that the Christians in the first century suffered. There are Christians today in different parts of the world suffering some of those things. Here in the United States, luckily, we don't face those persecutions. But there are Christians in other parts of the world that are killed in public squares, beaten to death while people are cheering. I've seen reports where Christians, for their belief in Christ, are put in cages in the town square, doused with gasoline, and then set on fire alive by animals, by pure evil animals. And Paul is telling Timothy, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm surprised he didn't put a don't be deceived on this one. 1 Peter 4, the Apostle Peter says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. I'm going to read verse 15 one more time. But let none of you, if we're suffering for the cause of Christ, rejoice that we're counted worthy of that. But nobody suffer for worldly actions. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. I've always thought of this verse, Revelation 2:10, as a comfort and a reminder to be faithful until death, which that does say. But if you look at the beginning, the Apostle John is recording what Jesus says, do not fear any of those things which you were about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of righteousness. We find our comfort in God. While we're living here, we're going to suffer because of sin, hopefully not ours, but maybe others, natural consequences, and if for anything, it reminds us, makes this world not as attractive. Gives us a little reminder and an eagerness for our next destination. But we find while we're here comforting God. Our scripture reading that Sam read earlier is taken from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing." And by the way, Paul wrote this from a jail cell in Rome. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We just scratched the surface on some of the reasons of why we suffer. If you can see fit that the invitation is for you today, if you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you, like our sister did, want to identify and work and worship with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, while we sing the invitation song, please come forward and your needs will be addressed. Michael, let's stand and sing.